Blog Talk Radio.
Interesting day, considering that we've had our Ambassador Stevens in Libya being tortured. Most of the media in the world is reporting that he was raped, male rape, and there are other media that is reporting that he is or was gay. We don't know if this was one of the reasons that he was treated the way he was, to send a gay man to a Muslim country. And, of course, the Islamists and the Muslims are hypocritical about homosexuality because they prey on young boys. I bring up the case of John Walker Lind, who was studying supposedly at the Islamic mosque in Mill Valley, California. And according to Newsweek magazine, he was raped by a Pakistani or homosexually seduced, which is the same thing because he was 16 or 17 at the time. We don't know what else happened to him when he was over in Afghanistan and Pakistan. It's very interesting because there are among the, we'll get to the deaths, but among the deaths today, there were three assassinations in history. The first one was McKinley. President McKinley was assassinated on this day in 1901, and Teddy Roosevelt, who will play into this later, became president. We had Pyotr Stolypin in 1911. He was kind of he wanted to liberalize Russia. He was assassinated. And then in 1982, we had Bashir Jamal of Lebanon. He was killed by a bomb. Three assassinations on this day, and then, of course, the death of Grace Kelly, who was killed in a car accident, that was believed to be the car was believed to be driven by her daughter, but she took the fall. Among the major historical deaths, and or two of them actually, in 1759, this affects the how Canada became a territory, a dependency of Great Britain. The French General Montcalm on the Plains of Abraham outside of Quebec City and General Wolfe, both were killed in the battle. And, of course, this was in 1759, and as a result of that battle, the French lost Canada as a territory, a colony, and Britain acquired it to this day. Of course, it's now part of the Commonwealth. It's a strange status for the Canadians. Well, among the birthdays today, and this is interesting because the way the politics is being played out, it brings up this guy, the Russian scientist Pavlov, and Pavlov's dogs, who are taught to respond to certain commands and how they are studied and how they react. And it seems that some of the media is following some of the worst of the politicians' agendas. And they're acting like Pavlovian dogs and a pack of jackals. What happened after Romney spoke out on questioning Mr. O's handling or mishandling of the Libyan situation and the assassination of that ambassador? Fox TV and others caught these news people, media morons, actively plotting to sandbag Romney. And it was like a pack of jackals when you heard them. They were all braying at him at the same time. Just outrageous. It's no wonder people don't respect the media. Now, talking about international disagreements, on this day, Lord Cecil, a British politician, was one of the founders of the League of Nations, which was a disaster. We had Margaret Sanger, the head of started Planned Parenthood, who was a racist and didn't like blacks. She was also supposedly the nurse for Adolf Hitler when he was wounded as a war hero in World War I. Famous Czech national liberation hero and politician and statesman, more of a statesman, Jan Masaryk's birthday today. Famous American movie producer and director, Hal Wallace. This is an unusual Owen, and he's a great musician, a couple of them. Layman Engel, who did a lot of the, for Columbia Records, did a lot of the musical arrangements and conducted the orchestras for a lot of the Broadway shows that were put on record for Columbia. Famous, you don't hear too much about him, but he wrote a piece called Jazz for Orchestra. Swiss composer Rolf Liebermann, very interesting piece. And this happened in the 50s when the CIA was running rampant in South America, and they overthrew the president of Guatemala. His name was Jacobo Arbenz. Now, for the final humiliation, when he was at the airport, he wasn't assassinated, but he was deposed and put on a plane. At the airport, he was stripped, humiliated, and then put on a plane with his life, but not his dignity intact. We had a nice CBS newsman, great voice, Hughes Rudd, birthday, and one of the controversial leaders of the New York Teachers Union, or the American, the AFT, Albert Shanker, not the disease or the VD disease, although some people thought he might have been affected, S-H-A-N-K-E-R, same spelling, his birthday. Famous actor who did Hamlet, Nicole Williamson, Scotch actor, and a great dancer, and a great, she was well apportioned, Joey Heatherton, her birthday today. And of course, the deaths today, we had General Montcalm and General Wolf. Aaron Burr, the guy who tried to, was vice president of the United States. He shot, killed Alexander Hamilton in a duel, and he tried to seize the new territory of Louisiana, and he had to flee for his life. The great Duke of Wellington, Arthur Wellesley, was the last battle he fought. He said it was a damn near close thing, and the Germans, General Blücher and the Prussians, saved him at the Battle of Waterloo. And Wellesley was part of the Anglo-Irish aristocracy that went, the English that went to Ireland, and the Anglo-Irish produced quite a few generals. Harold Alexander, Bernard Law Montgomery were a couple who came out of Ireland and served and rose through the ranks to commanding positions in the British Army and the British British Army. And then, of course, McKinley was assassinated on this day. And back to Duke of Wellington, he became Prime Minister of England, and he was having several affairs, and one woman threatened to publish their love letters, and he said, publish and be damned, or publish and go to hell. He was known as the Great Duke. One of the, he was also part known as the Sepoy General. All these, he was the second, third son of the Wellesley family, and the first son inherited the property. One son went into the church. This was how it worked, and one son went into the military. Well, Arthur served in India as a Sepoy General, and he also served in the Peninsula War in Spain, and that's how he learned the tactics that he used successfully against Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo in Belgium. And then we had now great actor actress Janet Gaynor was she was in with Frederick Marc in A Star Is Born, the first version of that, and then Lewis Quinn, another actor, he died on this day. And among the events today, it's also National Anthem Day. In 1716, the first lighthouse was constructed in the United States. In 1812, back to the Russians, Napoleon occupied Moscow, and of course the Russians, General Kutuzov and Alexander I, set Moscow on fire. And great versions of War and Peace, there are three versions. The British did a version for BBC. Henry Fonda and Mel Ferrer and Audrey Hepburn was in another version. The American version of War and Peace, and then there was the Russian version, the last version of one of the most recent of War and Peace, which has the battles which are much more interesting. In 1814, Francis Scott Key was inspired to write the Star-Spangled Banner, and today is American National Anthem Day. Now, this Scott, General Scott, was known as Old Fuss and Feathers. He wanted to be nominated for president. In 1847, he entered Mexico City. Now, there's a famous movie about the Irish, the Patricios, who were abused in the American army, and they, because they were Catholic, they deserted and went to fight on the Mexican side with Santa Anna, because Mexico was Catholic and they were Catholic, and they were being abused by the Protestants in the American army. And what Scott did, he had all these guys court-martialed, and several of them were hanged, and there's a famous movie with Tom Berenger where he was whipped 50 lashes, and then branded on both cheeks. They made a mistake on one, and then he was an officer in the Mexican army, and he retired and then disappeared in the wilds of Mexico. But Scott also served in the American army up until the American Civil War. And you can see a depiction of him in the General Custer movie starring Errol Flynn. Because the British helped the Confederacy in 1872, they had to pay reparations in the amount of $15 million for all the damage that the Confederate ship had inflicted upon American or Union ships, because the Union the American merchant ships had flew the American flag and not the Confederate flag, were preyed upon by the Confederate commerce raider. 1992, if you use a typewriter room, everybody's using computers or laptops. George Anderson invented the typewriter room in 1886 on this date. And then A.P. Giannini married Miss Cuneo, and Giannini started the Bank of Italy to help the Italians who were here in San Francisco. This later became the Big Bank of America. And during the earthquake, 1906, he got a wheelbarrow and went to his bank and got all the money to make sure it didn't disappear when the earth opened up and closed. And, of course, Caruso was singing here in San Francisco at that time. He said he'd never come back. And then we had the first guy who was killed by an automobile, Henry Bliss, was the first auto fatality. And then in Spain, before the Spanish Civil War, we had Primo de Rivera became the Spanish dictator. And then in 1930, the Nazis made their big push to take over Germany, and they won 107 seats in the Reichstag. And then the first frontal pre-lobotomy in 1956 were performed. Now, what's interesting, questions we should ask ourselves, since Teddy Roosevelt, he's on him and the Wind and the Lion film. Teddy Roosevelt had a situation in Libya, in North Africa, when a guy named Petacaris, who was some controversy as to what his citizenship really was. He was Greek ethnic, but was he a Greek citizen or an American citizen? Anyway, he was kidnapped by this, I guess you call him a Berber, and Teddy Roosevelt used this as an excuse to send the U.S. Marines. He was running for president in his own right, and he made this statement. Petacaris Rasuli was the Berber. Petacaris alive or Rasuli dead, and the American public ate it up. And then Teddy Roosevelt played the big bull moose and beat his chest and sent the Marines over there. But he didn't fool around. The question that we should be asking ourselves with this situation in the Middle East is if Teddy Roosevelt was alive today, in the White House, how would he dealt with this situation where an American ambassador, whether he's gay or not, was abducted out of the embassy, tortured, raped, killed, and other, and then our other diplomatic personnel. How would an American president like Teddy Roosevelt have handled this? Mr. Rowe seems to be paralyzed by his own political inertia. So that's a question we should ask ourselves. Also, Ronald Reagan wouldn't put up with this, and I understand that he sent the word to what's his name? The we got a problem here. To the Ayatollah, when he just before he was being inaugurated, he said the American captives in the American embassy in Baghdad, if they're not released, we're going to nuke your country. Some words to that effect. Of course, they were released after Ronald Reagan took the oath of office, and Jimmy Carter was out of office. Now, we should be asking ourselves if this is going to happen. Anybody who has to go to visit prisoners in the California correctional system, this is a report that we are getting from Arizona, that anybody who wants to visit a prisoner has to have a background check, and they're going to charge $25 fee for a prison visit background check. Now, the question is, will other cash-strapped Straits, which have huge bills for their prisons and their administration of justice system, are they going to follow Arizona on this? Is this an untapped revenue source? So people need to be aware of that. And again, we'll bring up the other untapped revenue sources, at least one city in Red China, Xiaoyang. What they've done is they have apparently... Yep, this problem is. Anyway, the other issue that we bring up is the public pensions. Do you know that there are public employees who set up these bogus 501c3 so-called nonprofits to get HUD money, to get AIDS money? They're also collecting a salary for when they work in municipal government. And so, you know, they go through life this way and collecting two salaries, and at the end of it, they're collecting two pensions, plus health care, plus vacations, and if all the health care time that they've accumulated, some of them get collect the money for that time. So isn't it time to put an end to this double, triple, and even quadruple dipping? This is something you need to be aware of, and it's time to crack down on these people. So the other question is, given this horrible Democratic Party down in Charlotte, which is known as the Queen City of the South, Charlotte, North Carolina, have the Democrats done what they did in 1968, and that is they let the radicals take over the party, and consequently people got fed up with it and voted for Nixon. So it's something that people should think about at when they go to the polls, and also the inability of our general Lisino in the White House, the commander in chief, to deal with this situation. There's also okay. I think this is important too because we have more and more media people who lie, who distort. In fact, there's a song out of journalists who lie, and we got a review copy, and we will play an excerpt for it. But I think this is important. Citizen Kane, which was about Hearst and which was Orson Welles' great film, still to this day. He said something very interesting. It's one of the great newspaper movies, and this is what he said about newspapers.
Is that really your idea of how to run a newspaper?
I don't know how to run a newspaper, Mr. Thatcher. I just try everything I can think of.
Charge, you know perfectly well there's not the slightest proof that this Armada's off the Jersey
Coast. Hello, Mr. Bernstein.
Excuse me, Mr. Bernstein.
Can you prove it isn't?
This just
Mr.
Came
Bernstein,
in.
I'd like you to meet Mr. Thatcher.
I'll just call
how do you
order.
Do, Mr. Thatcher?
Leland.
Hello.
Mr. Thatcher, my ex-guardian. We have no secrets from our readers, Mr. Bernstein. Mr. Thatcher is one of our most devoted readers. He knows what's wrong with every copy of the paper. Let's go over. Read the cable.
Girls delightful in Cuba, stop.
Could send you prose poems about scenery, but don't feel right spending your money. Stop. There is no war in Cuba. Signed, Wheeler. Any answer?
Yes, dear Wheeler, you provide the prose poems. I'll provide the war.
That's fine, Mr. Kane.
Yes, I rather like myself.
Better right away.
I came to see you about this campaign of yours. This inquiry campaign against the public transit company.
Mr. Thatcher, do you know anything we could use against...
Still a college boy, aren't you?
Oh, no, Mr. Thatcher. I was expelled from college. A lot of colleges, you remember. I remember.
Charles, I think I should remind you of a fact that you seem to have forgotten.
Yes.
That you are yourself one of the largest individual stockholders in the public transit company.
The trouble is you don't realize you're talking to two people. As Charles Foster Kane, who owns 82,364 shares of public transit preferred, you see, I do have a general idea of my holdings. I sympathize with you. Charles Foster Kane is a scoundrel. His paper should be run out of town. A committee should be formed to boycott him. You may, if you can form such a committee, put me down for a contribution of $1,000.
My time's...
On the other hand, I am the publisher of the Inquirer. As such, it's my duty, and I'll let you in on a little secret. It's also my pleasure to see to it that decent, hardworking people in this community aren't robbed blind by a pack of money-mad pirates just because they haven't anybody to look after their interests. I'll let you in on another little secret, Mr. Thatcher. I think I'm the man to do it, you see. I have money and property. I don't look after the interests of the underprivileged. Maybe somebody else will. Maybe somebody without any money or property.
Yes, yes,
and that
yes.
Would
money
be too
and property.
Bad.
Well, I happened to see your financial statement today, Charles.
Oh, did you?
Now, tell me honestly, my boy. Don't you think it's rather unwise to continue this philanthropic enterprise? This inquirer that's costing you $1 million a year?
You're right, Mr. Thatcher. I did lose $1 million last year. I expect to lose $1 million this year. I expect to lose $1 million next year. You know, Mr. Thatcher, at the rate of $1 million a year, I'll have to close this place in 60 years.
That was a clip from Citizen Kane, which is based on the early life of William Randolph Hearst, who started the Examiner newspapers, which were all across the country. They are essentially no more, and what was the San Francisco Examiner became absorbed into the San Francisco Chronicle. This other one is also very interesting. I think we should play it because of the sad state that the media generally is in. And this is a clip from Ethel Barrymore, who owns a newspaper, and Humphrey Bogart, who's a newspaper editor, who's talking about corruption.
No paper ever did a better, faster, more thorough job. All we needed was that one bit of evidence. We had it. Why do you think we hung the whole thing on Rienzi's case? Because we were sentimental about a dead girl and a code? No. And we had something big. Big enough to save our necks. Rienzi in the liquor business, the financial department, dug that one up. Distributor for two of the biggest name brands. Rienzi's brother runs a wire service for race results, transportation. Loan agency for bookies, real estate, hotels, nightclubs.
Slot machines, et cetera, et cetera. Years ago, my husband tried to do a story like this on a man just like Rienzi.
No, I figured with a story like this, well, they'd never close this town. Well, we showed him how a real newspaper can function. And now, we're licked, baby.
Put a head on this, will you? My husband always said it was a worthwhile fight, didn't matter who won. Some good was sure to come out of it. That Rienzi's wine?
Uh-huh.
Pretty good.
The best. Now you're quite a girl.
Yeah.
Guess they made them different in your day.
Yeah.
More durable.
More pliable. Girls these days have stuff, but they're brittle. Break more easily. Don't roll with the punches.
Plenty of gall and no guts.
Meaning Nora?
Meaning Nora.
Well, now be a respectful silence while we feel sorry for ourselves.
No, she had no right to walk out on me.
Why not?
Because.
Because it inconvenienced you.
Because she's my wife.
You wouldn't have had a wife if that newspaper it had beautiful legs.
Sure, sure. But you never walked out on John.
Who said so? Twice.
You must have had a pretty good reason.
The best. A bride always likes to think she's indispensable. Even in the morning. I woke up and he was gone. Gone back to the paper to do the Lusitania story. I walked out.
Ah, but you came.
2 days later, he didn't even know I'd been gone.
But he loved you.
Passionately, between editions. He had time to change the face of journalism, fight for reform, crusade for 1,000 lost causes. He had no time for his family. So I took my 2 daughters and left this big, beautiful mausoleum.
Why did you come back?
Well, we needed each other. Was I who did the adjusting, though? Wasn't Alice or Kitty or John. He needed a son to carry on the paper. And they needed a father to love, not a bulldog edition.
And her, me.
Spitting image.
What did you want?
To be useful.
Huh? The newspapers.
To editors like you. The publisher's delight. Don't blame Nora. Unless she wants to come back, it won't work. She stays away.
I can look for a newspaper with nice legs.
Court convenes in about 30 minutes. Are you going to be there?
Maybe. Will you marry me?
You're too old.
We don't have media people like that, unfortunately. And, of course, Humphrey Bogart was in another film, one of his last, called The Harder They Fall, set in Chicago, interestingly, about the scourge of Boston, boxing. And we will end with politics and poker. Maybe we need some poker players, some people who know how to play a straight hand.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you 5. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clown?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
Not this time. Anyway, we'll be back Monday, and we just did an interview with a descendant of a great American labor leader, and hope to have it edited for broadcast then. And he, interestingly, works for a non-union corporation, international corporation. Interesting observations of this young man. This is Peter Paul Brizola. We'll be back Monday. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas, YouTube. And also, go to our, you can use verzola.com, that you can bring you there faster, verzola.com. So, we'll be back. Have a safe weekend. It's Peter Paul Verzola. We'll be back Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.